In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to wish all the mothers with us today a very happy Mother's Day. I really, really wanted to write a Mother's Day sermon today. For some, Mother's Day can be tough for many reasons. I thought I would write a sermon honoring the way all moms put the concerns of their children first, before all other concerns. When I started reading today's gospel, I had never noticed before how Jesus puts the concerns of the disciples before his concerns, before the concerns of the world. Therefore, no Mother's Day sermon. Next year, I will preach a true Mother's Day sermon about the powerful influences women have had on our lives. Anyway, to give you an idea of where and when this gospel story takes place, Jesus and 11 of the 12 disciples are in the upper room. Supper has ended. The master has become the servant. Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. And they are about to go to Gethsemane. Jesus is at the end of his farewell discourse to his disciples. And in the midst of saying goodbye to his loyal friends, knowing that he will be betrayed, arrested, tortured, and executed. To say Jesus has a lot on his mind is an understatement. But in the midst of all of that chaos, Jesus prays, not for himself, not for the world, but for his disciples. Jesus has taught us to pray with the Lord's Prayer, and today he teaches us to pray in a new way. Some commentaries refer to these passages as the high priestly prayer because of the intercessory nature of his petitions. In preparing to write this sermon, pretty much all sermons, I look at several different viewpoints. I look at the exegetical point of view. I look at the theological point of view. I look at the pastoral point of view. And I look at the homiletic point of view. And I think it would be fair to say that I usually write my sermons in a pastoral tone. However, I was fascinated this week by the theological viewpoint. Now, John's language is usually difficult, to say the least, difficult to follow. But in this prayer, it's even more difficult because he makes assumptions that we know where he is and what he's saying. Luckily for me, Jesus actually stops and explains himself during the prayer. So at this poignant moment of prayer, Jesus is worried about his disciples. And by inference, worried about us. And his prayer has three parts. First, the disciples and us are God's own people. People who have kept God's word and whom God has given to Jesus. So it is that the disciples and us are God's own people and Jesus' own people. And because of that, that forms a triangular relationship between God and Jesus and us. Secondly, the relationship is about to change because Jesus is leaving the world. He's returning to heaven. And in addition to that, he's worried about his disciples and our well-being. Jesus says, while I was with them, I protected them in the name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one was lost, except for the one destined to be lost. Interestingly, well, to me anyway, the NRSV uses the word protect, which is a little different than other versions. In earlier versions, it used the word keep, which the Greek root, and I apologize, I'm not a linguist, tiro, means attend to carefully, pay attention to, take care of. The Greek translation brings a different viewpoint, a more loving relationship than the word protect. At our vestry meeting retreat a week or so ago, we were all chatting about the importance and the impact that translations bring to the scriptures. Jesus knows that it's not going to be easy. In fact, that this strong message is that we will have problems. He knows the nature of the world and the temptation that it has to distract people from their mission. Jesus says, I am not asking for you to remove them from the world, but protect them from the evil one. Thirdly, and I think most importantly, because of his return to heaven, Jesus is sending his disciples and us into the world just as God sent him into the world. Jesus says, They do not belong to the world any more than I am. Now, this could be problematic. It sounds as if Jesus is not in the world. Well, I believe what he's saying is that he wants us to be in the world, but not part of the world. It's a common saying that I'm sure we've all heard. And I believe it means that he wants us to be not caught up in the materialism, the conflict, the chaos of the world. That we must be true to the word that he has given us, true to God and our beliefs. And that we must take those beliefs and gifts into the world. I like analogies, and I thought a good analogy would be oil and vinegar. Picture a container of oil and vinegar. The vinegar is red, and that's on the bottom, and the oil is a golden greenish yellow, and that's on top. Obviously, two separate elements. But if you mix them up, they appear to become one. They are separate, but together. I think salad dressing is a good picture of what God wants us to be in the world. He prays that the disciples and us live in the world, that we would not become part of the world. He wants them and us to bring the gifts, the word of God, into the world without the world changing us. The three parts of Jesus' prayer show God's involvement in the disciples, their protection, and their work in the world. The good news is that the disciples and we have the privilege and the of knowing God's truth in Jesus Christ that this prayer assures us of. That God has an investment in our belief, and a deep concern for us all. Now, Jesus' prayer is not a promise that we will not face hardship or adversity in our life. Actually, Jesus points out that we will. Just as he did. However, what he does promise is God to send us out into the world just as he did with Jesus, armed with the love and the power of God. And my prayer this week would be, Jesus, help us as we live in the world to remain faithful to your call and to be separate from the world. Amen.